It's hump day. Remember the camel hump day?
Yes. Mike. Guess what day it is? Hump day.
In this podcast, we are going to help out a Miguel and Holly fan member and help you if you've been displaced. We got to have a deep conversation about Harry Potter
and how it relates to 9/11.
I know, right? And then we got to go down memory lane and sort of ask ourselves some deep questions that you can ask your boo thang as we're under quarantine.
Yes.
But before we get started, huge shout out and thank you to Corona Beer for making this possible. So make sure to find your beach with some limes with Corona.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Rick.
Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Here we are dealing with COVID-19, that stupid bitch.
Oh, wow.
Sorry,
that's a good way to say it.
Feel like I need to just get some anger out immediately about COVID-19.
I almost feel like COVID-19 is not a stupid bitch. It's an evil genius, and we're trying to, like, combat it. If COVID-19 was, like, a character in a book, it'd be one of the Death Eaters. Well, they are kind of stupid, but, like, they're also tricky.
Yeah, it's true. They're always like, ooh, I'm going to get you. I'm like, going to be sneaky.
You know who's a stupid bitch is, like, Dudley Dursley.
Oh, true.
Like, that's a stupid bitch.
True.
And we wouldn't have be having to deal with COVID-19 so much if it was just a stupid bitch. Nope. COVID-19 is a Death Eater.
Scott's like, what are you talking about?
Sorry, Harry Potter.
Read Harry Potter.
I watched the movies. I didn't read
you
it.
Didn't
Doesn't
watch the
mean
movies.
Anything.
I did. I watched up until the Deathly Hallows.
Pay attention?
No.
That's what I mean.
No,
you didn't
it's
really
been a while. I remember seeing like 1, 2, 3. I think like 4 is where I started to. That's when it, kind of fell off. But I would, you know what? That's what I'm going to do while I'm in quarantine. I'm going to binge myself some... I'm not going to read it. I'm going to binge watch some Harry Potter.
Do it.
You should. You like reading. You
I know,
should
yeah,
literally
I have,
read the Harry Potter series. I promise you, it is so worth it.
I have other books right now that are on my priority list, but I will. Actually, you know, I'll put it on my list for this year, but I just... You know what's hard is I look at it and I'm like, that's... I have to look at it just one book. I'll read the first one and then I'll get tried.
Just
know, it's
read
tough.
The first book. Nobody's asking you to like read books 2 through 7, but if you read the first one, it will lead you into
I
the
think
next.
I have all of them. I think my parents have them. My mom has all of them because my brother read them.
Miguel has all of them.
Punch you in the face.
Why? You are feisty.
Like,
Miguel is fired up today.
I am. Like, I'm going to slay the bitch. Like, what?
Let's go.
No, I feel like if you missed out on what it was like to live when you didn't have all the Harry Potters out... Like, I cannot describe for you the excitement that you would get, the anticipation.
There was nothing like it.
Of going to the bookstore at midnight, and we're all waiting, and then
the
they...
The bookstore!
Yes.
Who goes to the bookstore, period?
Right.
Let alone waits outside. I was a promotions director when book 7 came out.
Mm-hmm.
I hosted a promotion at a bookstore at midnight.
Lit. I was working in radio in Savannah when the last one came out. And literally, we were like, yeah, getting the crowd hyped up. 97.3 Kiss FM in Savannah. And then literally, as soon as midnight, people got their books. I got the F out of there to take my book home. I read it all night. Had to be up the next morning to produce the Bill Edwards morning show on News Radio 1290 WTTKS. I was running the board. Bitch, I didn't hear a word he said that day. Like, literally, while he was talking about some Republican stuff, I was just reading the book. And then he'd be like, and this... is News Radio 1290 WTKS. Miguel! I was like, oh, shit, Derek! Got to hit a button! I was like, sorry, I'm doing a horrible job. Like, because when you were...
He was young.
I was real young.
So that was probably, 2007
yes,
when the last book came out, because that's when I graduated college.
How old were you in 07?
07, I was probably, either 10 or 11.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I remember, like, my brother, that was what, like, he was a big reader when I was young, and, like, he started the series. He never finished it, but, like, I know.
How do you
did you not finish it?
Maybe, I don't think he did yet. No.
I don't understand the people. Like, I get it if you're not a reader and you haven't read them.
Right.
Or I get it if you're like you, Scott, and just haven't read them, period.
And you just saw the movies.
The movies are so good.
I cannot wrap my head around someone who started the books but was like, I'll get to it.
That makes no sense.
I think he was like 7 years old, though. That's why.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, because when I first got the first Harry Potter book, I was a freshman in high school, and I think maybe two or three books were already out by then.
Yeah.
And it was my English teacher, because I was having a rough time at the beginning of high school, and she was like, why don't you read this? And I just remember identifying with Harry so much in that first book, because I felt so alienated in my freshman year of high school, and it was like the perfect thing I needed. It was like having a best friend, like, that I didn't know I needed my freshman year of high school. And then we grew up together. Because when the last book came out, I had just graduated college.
Does it? One, that makes me super excited to read it. But also, if I read them, is it going to, like, because obviously you saw the movies too, because it's always like the book's better. I definitely know the book has to be better than the movies. But, like, is it going to ruin it completely for me?
What ruin what?
Like, just the whole story on the movie side of it.
Like, the fact that you know it?
Kind of, but you
probably don't remember. There were so many details in the book that are not in the movies.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
There are so many details in the movies that you've forgotten through the years if you're not like a big Harry Potter person. Like, I'm a big Harry Potter person, but I would never do Harry Potter trivia because I don't remember everything.
I know some of that stuff that, like, way deep stuff.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about, like, herbology and stuff.
Like, it's been 20 years, so it's like I don't remember everything.
Yeah.
But you will get so much enjoyment. And I think what's going to be even better, the fact that you've, like, seen the movies, is the world is sort of built in your head.
Yeah. Right?
And, like, that was kind of the hard part at the beginning before the movies, because, like, I remember I told you this years ago, Holly, that, like, forever I said Voldemort's name wrong. Like, in my mind when I read it as, like, Voldemort or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, Gryffindor was said differently. Like, all the different names. Now that you know it from the movie, you're like, oh, it makes sense, and you can see it in your head. But back then, I was like, oh, Voldemort.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the movies came out and it was like Voldemort, I was like,
it's
shit.
There's no R. It's Voldemort.
Wait, what?
Voldemort.
Voldemort, yes. Thank you. Maybe I said Voldemort. It was one of those, I said it wrong.
My college boyfriend and I would have arguments about the pronunciation of stuff because the first movie came out when I was in college.
Oh, that's cool.
I think.
Wait, I was a freshman in high school when it came out, the movie. Because you graduated 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So you.
It was not out when I was in high school. I'm pretty sure it came out in 01.
I mean, we could just do it.
You know what? You're right. Wait. Let me look. See what I'm curious.
Google it.
Or you know what? Maybe I was a sophomore. Maybe that's what it was.
You would have probably been a sophomore because I'm pretty sure that it was a... When I was a freshman in college, we went to go see it, and I was, like, beside myself. And then we figured out, me and one of my best friends from high school, that the final movie wouldn't be out until we were 30.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, Jesus, I'm not going to be into that by then. But you can bet your bippy that I was at the movie theater when I was 30.
We went together.
We did. We went, saw
the last one.
Right before we moved to Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, there was a lot of discrepancies, and there was a lot of, like, because for me, when I read a book, I have to build the world in my head because I'm not necessarily a very fast reader.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of go slow so that I can absorb everything, and then it is building. You're building the world in your head. So when they describe, oh, Hagrid looked like this, you're like, okay, so big hair, this, that. And so there's a lot that you have to kind of construct.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, maybe it won't take so long for you to get through because you have seen the movie.
Yeah.
And they did a pretty good job in the movies of casting characters who were what they were described as in the book.
Yeah, and especially for the first book.
Yeah.
The first movie, I think I was a sophomore because I couldn't drive. And I won tickets from Q100, the radio station growing up.
Oh.
And my friend's dad had to drive us to the radio station to pick up the tickets.
Yeah.
And then drive us through the theater. And I just remember we were, like, young and excited. And he was just like, I would rather be doing anything else. But I remember my one complaint with the first Harry Potter movie was the fact that it felt like a picture book.
Yeah.
Because there were so many details that it went by so fast that I remember thinking, now I couldn't tell you exactly like, you know, what happened in the first book compared to the movie, but I just remember feeling that so strongly. But then they got so much better about developing the characters, because I feel like I remember saying when the first one came out, I felt like Harry didn't talk a lot. It was just him making like lots of faces.
And to be fair, they pulled those kids kind of out of nowhere. Yeah. And they were literally like young kids who were not good actors.
Yeah.
Like, and they didn't want good actors. Like, I think probably somebody like Dakota Fanning could have been it. But they wanted all British kids who were not necessarily well known, and then they could mold them. So the first movie, the kids are not good actors.
No, it's literally like looking at a picture book.
It is. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So it was when it first came out, they were just so afraid of doing it wrong. Because keep in mind, even before the movies, even before the merch or the Wizarding World at Universal, it was already a $1 billion industry just from the books.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to screw up the movie. So
that's
they're like,
true.
We have to do this exactly right. Get John Williams over here for the score. We're going to get all these famous adults like Maggie Smith and Robbie Coltrane and all these famous British actors, no-name kids, but we're going to do it right. And so they wanted to, I think, make it so like the book that they... That's what's different about movies and books. You can't include all those aspects.
No, you can't. You can't.
It wasn't until the third movie, I think, that shit got kind of cool.
Gosh damn it.
Sorry. So it's like, it's okay. The third movie is where they got a new director. It wasn't Chris Columbus anymore. It was that Alfonso.
Yes, yes.
And so that third movie, it became a movie that was based on the book, and it moved.
Yeah,
and
it was good. So dark. Ugh.
Interesting. I definitely have to rewatch that. I guess I was so young when I saw him originally.
You would have been. And I think before you rewatch him, honestly, just do yourself a favor and read the books.
Yeah, read the book.
Really?
I promise you, because you read rather quickly, don't you?
I read moderately. Right now, I just read a lot.
Yeah, I have the first. It's actually in my bag right now, right
what?
Here.
What? Why is it in your bag?
Well, I always say it's always one of those, like, if I ever end up, like, I want to go read at the park, like, I always have it with me in, like, moment where I just want to put my Instagram down for a second. So I always keep it with me just in case I want to read something not on my phone. And so I always have the first book with me.
That's awesome.
That is really awesome.
So if you want to read it, I got it, girl.
I'm going to step in the hallway. Can I have the button?
I think you should.
I'm sorry. The reason why you keep hearing those dings is I have the way that it's set up in here, because we let y'all behind the scenes, is I have like four computers that I look at. And one of them is called the internet computer. And it's where I can like look up YouTube and I check my email and I play audio from the open mic feature when you all send stuff. And we have another open mic from one of you. So if you download the free Hot 101.5 app and you want to leave us a message, you can always do it on there. And so I've had it open to play the message. And so that's why I keep hearing me get emails. So let me play this so we can be done, so I can turn that computer off.
Are you playing it right now?
Yeah.
Wait, let me just go ahead and say, we said it in the beginning, like when it came out. It was 2001, November 14th. 2001 was the first movie.
So that was definitely my.
Let's see. That was my sophomore year of high school.
Wait a minute. November 2001?
That's what it said. November 14th, 2001.
I was actually. You would have been a junior, Miguel. Because I was
sophomore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Because when September 11th happened, I was a junior. Yeah, that's right.
And I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
Wow.
We weren't driving as juniors? Wow.
Well,
okay.
Yo.
Question about that. With September 11th happening, was it weird having the movie out, like a big movie like that out so close to that date?
I don't. Maybe you remember better, Holly. I don't remember. I don't. Like, literally, those feel like two. Damn it! those feel like two separate things. Like, I don't remember them, like, coinciding. I'm imagining they were probably like, we need to get back to regular life, because I remember after September 11th, the thing that everyone said is we can't let them win. We have to keep living our lives.
Yeah.
Because that's what terrorism is, that it makes you go out of your normal schedule.
To be fearful.
So I can imagine that it was like, hey, let's celebrate by, you know, gathering around this new Harry Potter movie.
Yeah. We're not going to let them stop us from doing Harry Potter. Because that's what, and I remember, do you remember? Because it was like the terrorists at that time, they didn't like American way of life.
Yeah.
So they didn't like, you know, hedonistic TV, and so we were like, we're gonna watch more porn and we're gonna go to the movies.
I'm gonna watch this witchcraft.
But I also think that I was in college, and so for like my age group and younger, it's not like we didn't care, but it was because we were very impacted. But by November, it was almost like we had adapted to a new way of life already. Does that make sense? Because we were young and we were able to kind of pivot.
And then also, too, because you were so young back then, like right now, this, what we're going through with COVID-19, will be up there with 9/11 on like what we'll be talking about and remembering like what it felt like that the 12th, the Thursday, the 12th, that night when all of a sudden Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson had it and the NBA canceled their season.
And then on the 13th, when I picked my kid up from school, knowing that I don't know when she's coming back here.
Right. And then everything canceled. Like it's going to be like that. Whereas with COVID-19, like it's now 3 weeks in and we're still dealing with it and we don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Whereas then, and if I'm wrong and I'm speaking out of turn, and if you were older and remember more, please forgive me. But from my perspective, from what I remember, is like the first week, it was like this the most patriotic I've ever felt about my country. Like I always say, I remember because I was on the school bus, and like on every school bus we had on like the rearview mirrors, like the American flags just like flapping, and then like every skyscraper in Atlanta had like the American flag somehow draped from the top of it. And so everybody was like, we will rebuild, we will rebuild. And then it was like after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, life got back to kind of normal if you didn't live in the epicenter. So I don't want to take away from people who lived in New York or near the Pentagon or lost someone in it because you're still dealing with that now.
Yes, those ramifications never ended. But the rest of the country was not as impacted as those places. Like, you still carried that fear with you, but it was more so like, you can't fuck with us.
Right.
And all the dorm rooms had flags. Like, it was like that. And it was different. It was a different enemy.
It was a different trauma.
It was a different trauma. This is ongoing, and we're still trying to. Our lives are not normal. Like, our lives weren't really impacted in a way that was that we had to change what we were doing.
No.
Like, school was canceled, I think, for the rest of the week, but then it was like class as usual Monday morning.
Not us. I remember we still went to school the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe we did too, actually, because they can't. Obviously, it was a Tuesday. They canceled classes Tuesday. I think they canceled classes Wednesday because they didn't have many classes Wednesday anyway. But then Thursday, we were back.
Oh, yeah, because you were in college. So, yeah, that makes sense. But in back then, like, we couldn't. They were like, you need to go somewhere, especially with the big school districts.
Oh, yeah, no, this was college. They were like, just sit at your house. I don't know.
Wow.
But and I want to just say, and this is an interesting way to relate this, and I don't want it to, it's just a stat. I don't mean anything by it. But so far in the U.S., I think as of yesterday, and this is
April 1st,
I think as of yesterday, the deaths in America from COVID-19 have outpaced the deaths from 9/11. Now,
and not
that that's a great thing.
No, not at all.
I'm just saying I happened to cross that stat yesterday where it said the deaths from COVID-19 have surpassed 9/11, and that was a lot of lives. So
I feel like, you know, in talking about how the world felt after 9/11 and, you know, the way you go to the airport now has changed. You know, back in the day, I remember when we would travel and my mom.
You didn't have to do shit.
No, like literally my mom would go like to, is it the terminal when you get off? Like my mom would meet me at the terminal when I would come off the plane. Like, and so for you, Scott, who's 23, like that's like, no, you say bye before you go through security.
Oh, yeah.
Did they even have metal detectors?
There was no security. I'll tell you what we did, because we lived sort of by the Cleveland airport.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes if you were bored one day, your parents just took you to the airport to hang out. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, your parents just took you into the terminal so you could sit and watch the planes. And they would, like, go get a cup of coffee.
No, it's true.
And they're like, let's go watch the planes.
I remember in Denver at DIA when they built the airport there, which there's lots of conspiracy theories about that airport. We lived there when I was in middle school, and we used to do field trips there to the airport. And you would just walk right up, and you see people get off the plane, get on the plane, and whatnot.
I don't think there was any security.
No. But that's one of the things that changed after 9/11 that you don't remember. No. So I'm curious on what life is going to be like after this, because I promise you, we're not just going to flip a switch and we're just going to be back to where we were before March 13th. It's going to be before and after that date.
There will be so many more, much like 9/11 impacted how we do security and how our nation faces security. Now it's going to be like a cleanliness thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like where this has been so impactful on like washing your hands and not spreading germs that for probably a very long time after this, it will be businesses will have to say how they're being sanitized or how they're hiring different cleaning crews and stuff. I think that's going to be one of the big takeaways from this because people won't want to get sick.
No, it's true because we walk around just people. I mean, I think I saw yesterday on one of the St. Pete industry workers Facebook pages that somehow someone added me to a while ago, but they were saying that one of the cases of COVID-19 here in St. Pete, like the guy is like young, I think in his like 30s, but like a few weeks ago, like he was out in downtown St. Pete and everyone was like, oh God, like where did he go? Who did he come into contact with? You know? Mm-hmm. And so now when people are sick, before March 13th, if you were sick, you'd come to work. It'd be like, girl, you need to go home. But if you got to work through it, you got
to
work through
it. Right. Well, I'm just trying to do the best I can to power through. And it was almost like a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. I can work while I'm sick. It's okay.
I feel like after this, there will be none of that.
Uh-uh.
If you sneeze, they're going to be like, go home. Mm-hmm. And then we got to figure out how they're going to actually pay for those sort of things. That's what it's going to come down to. But that's a whole nother discussion. Here is the comment we got from the open mic feature on the Hot 101.5 app. If you ever got a comment about something on the show, you can always download the free Hot 101.5 app and leave us an open mic. And this is from, I think, Naomi is her name.
Hey, y'all. I just want to say thank you so much for doing these daily podcasts. It is much needed during this time. I am working from home. I have 6 kids home doing homeschooling. My insanity is going a little crazy, but I love you guys and I appreciate you. Platypus.
Platypus. Platypus.
I'm sorry, yes. Girl. How in God's name are you doing it with 6 kids?
6 kids.
I
can you imagine, huh?
No. Because I have struggled so hard with just the one. And maybe that's it. I remember reading a long time ago that after 3, it's kind of no big deal. After 3 kids, like the more the merrier because they all just kind of raise each other. But like having one, I am stressed out always to the max. I'm always like, what do we need to do? What do you have to do? I got to do my stuff. Got to do your stuff. Now we got to go outside and play kickball. Oh my God. I don't know.
It just feels like a lot. Like just 6. Like right, they're just on you, around you.
Do they entertain themselves? How old are they? What? I would love to know how that works. I just don't get it.
That's so much. My God. I'm trying to see. We had another Miguel and Holly fan member, and maybe it'll be tomorrow's podcast. But she sent me a message. This is Linda from Tampa. At where she works, they're actually hiring people.
Oh.
And okay, maybe we'll get her on the show tomorrow. She didn't give me her number. But I'll have that information for you tomorrow. So sorry, like emails are coming in right now. We have another Miguel and Holly fan member who we're going to call. She just emailed me. So, you know, every day we're trying to spotlight someone in the Miguel and Holly fam that has been displaced by dealing with COVID-19. And we want to just sort of say, hey, if you can work, what are your skills? And you give us your Venmo or Cash App so people can send you some money if need be. So let me see. All right. Let's see if she answers. Hello, is this Jacqueline?
Speaking.
This is Miguel, Holly, and Scott.
Hi.
Hello. Hello, Jacqueline.
Doing,
hi. So we are actually recording the podcast right now, so you're on. Hello.
Oh, my God. Hi. Yeah. Hi, everyone. Hi, Holly.
Hi.
So,
how are you, sweetheart?
Oh, I'm good, Jacqueline. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm hanging in there, you know, at home with 3 young ladies. Not fun, but I love them.
Wait, how old are they?
My daughters are 21, 23, and 25.
Okay.
You met the 23-year-old.
Yes, I did.
Came.
I did.
Yeah, and then you did a shout-out to the 25-year-old.
That's right.
And then I have a 21-year-old.
Wow. Now, you have been displaced. Not that you lost your job, but there's some health issues that you're going through that has basically prevented you from going out because of everything that's going on. What's happening in your world with that?
I'm a recent cancer survivor. I you know, if you followed my Twitter and stuff, I had cervical cancer, and it was a fight last year, you know, with, you know, radiation and chemo and everything. So I was not able to maintain my job. I've been in the restaurant industry for 20 years, you know, all from a server all the way to a GM. And with my surgeries and chemo and everything, I wasn't able to maintain. But I have three wonderful daughters, so I still work, you know, helping them through life and college and everything. So I started Ubering and Lyfting. It didn't go against any of it because I was still able to rest because you're sitting when you're driving, you know, not a lot of activities, because the more I was active, the harder I was able to get better. Well, because of everything I went through in the surgery, which activated, I've always had fibromyalgia, but I never really suffered from it. But when you have no more parts left, so my sciatica is constantly acting up. Like I have, because, you know, I had a hysterectomy. So anyway, so my left side would go numb. My right side would go numb. I can't really bend and lift, you know, like any kind of strenuous activities. My body will freeze up on me. Like I can't even do sit-ups. My neck will freeze up on me. You know, and that all caused from the weakness of my, you know, not having white blood cells and all that activated everything else. And then I was borderline diabetic, and I have thyroids that I developed through all this as well. But, yeah, but thank you, Lord. Like I said, I was able to drive. I'm good. I take my meds at night that make me sleep. I don't take anything during the day, just vitamins. And now, but now, you know, when we got the virus, I am not one of, like, the major, because I haven't even got all my white blood cells yet, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm one of the ones that are, you know, in danger. So I can't put anybody in my car.
Right.
And so I started doing Uber Eats, and I signed up for Postmates. Well, you know, with the Stay at Home Act, I'm in Sarasota. It's not really have been implemented. So when I go to restaurants to pick up, there's like 10, 20, you know, 10, 15 people there because they're still doing carry out and delivery.
Oh, geez.
So I'm like, okay, well, you know, the point of this is not having people in the car, but yet I'm going to a restaurant where there's a lot of people.
Yeah. Right.
And so I'm not really, I'm restricted more now. I can't even do my Uber Eats or Postmates because of those. You know, they're like, they're not even watching like how many people enter there. You know, so it's not even 10 and less anymore.
Right.
So now, you know, so I decided if I could wear a mask, but I don't know.
You don't want to endanger yourself.
No, you don't want to put yourself in danger.
I talked to my oncologist, Dr. Kasim. I haven't heard back from him. I guess, you know, he's overwhelmed with all this. He's from the... well, you guys would know the Cancer Center Moffitt in Tampa. Yeah, so I asked him what I can do, but I don't know because I haven't had a chance to get, he hasn't had a chance to get back to me.
Right.
So he's like, no, don't worry about it. It's okay if you're just around people, just don't touch them or not. I don't know.
Right, but
so
when you're dealing with...
my hand and something happens, and then Dr. Kasim would be like, oh, why didn't you wait for my call? I'm like, I'm head of household.
Yeah, no, you got to provide. Well,
yeah,
so. Let's do this, Jacqueline. Do you have Venmo or Cash App?
I have the Cash App.
Okay, give us your name, and so people can go on. If you got a dollar, $5, whatever you are able to give to help. Because right now, we're all feeling it in some parts of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're one of the lucky ones where, you know, it hasn't really affected you and you're able to give, or maybe you got a lot saved up, whatever the case may be, you can help her out. What is your Cash App name?
It's Jacqueline Mom Fan. So it's Jacqueline Mom Fan.
Give it to me one more time.
That. Jacqueline Mom Fan.
Perfect.
You want me to spell it again? It's all one word.
That's
all
perfect.
Together.
It's recorded, so if you want to go back and scrub back a couple of seconds, you can get the full name on Cash App. Well, hopefully a couple people will send you something, and we are thinking about you and sending you all the positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you both. You make my mornings every morning when I'm walking William. I listen to you guys when I'm able to go for a drive. I hate when I don't work that morning. I'm like, man, I can't listen to Miguel and Holly.
You can listen at home. Pull us up on Alexa, girl.
I do love, but I have my daughter still sleeping. They don't go to school now. Yeah. They're sleeping till like 10. So I got to dig for my headphone sets and put you on. So me and William were like, come on, William, let's go walk and listen to McGowan Holly.
That right.
That's so awesome. Well, we love you. Sending you hugs, okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. So if you want to be featured like Jacqueline and sort of tell us your story and what you're going through, please email me, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. Or if you slide up in my DMs and say, hey, I want to be featured, then I'll send you my email address because it's just easier to keep track of everybody in my email and not in social media.
Mm-hmm.
So just shoot me an email, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. It's just breaking my heart with what's happening right now. It's like this thing, this bitch, this asshole.
Oh, wow.
It's just snaking its way. And there's just so many ways that we had no clue 3 weeks ago of how it'd be affecting people. Like, I'm seeing all sorts of people that I thought I were like, oh, girl, she real smart. She real protected. And they're now been furloughed. They're not working for a little bit. And I'm just waiting for how our company is going to handle it because, you know, we're all having a tough time, so it's I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't either. We haven't heard anything, but that doesn't mean that they're not having conversations behind closed doors.
Mm.
I don't know.
It's scary times right now. Holly, we talked about on the show some questions that you talked about during Trending in Tampa Bay about if you are dating someone and you're sort of cooped up for a little bit. Scott, you're yawning. You okay over there?
Yeah, it's just when you yawn, you're just trying to get more oxygen to the brain, and that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Or you're just bored with me?
No, absolutely not. If anything, I am excited. That's why I want more oxygen to the brain so it could really soak up this moment.
Yeah, soak it up, bitch. So, Holly, what was this article?
Okay, so this is basically while you are in quarantine with your partner, or maybe you're long distance from your partner in quarantine, 30 questions to ask your partner to spark deep conversation. Mm. So I have a bunch of these questions. You want me to just pick at random?
Let's just go through a couple because I think we're already at 30 minutes and we got some more stuff to get done. Let's just pick the best two or just start with one.
Oh, God, there's 30 of them. So
gosh.
Close your eyes and point.
All right, well, actually, give me a number 1 through 30. How about that?
Ooh, 13.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Number 13. All right. Do you believe that everything happens for a reason?
Oh, I love this question.
Scott?
I do. I personally do. I think everything that you go through, you eventually, if not right in that moment, you could find something to take away from it. And I think those things that you go through, either they're a hard time or a great time, you're taking those lessons and you're becoming better because of it. And so everything's just, it's a constant path of weaving and bobbing and weaving like you're a boxer. But yes, I do think it happens for a reason. I think, your life is designed in a way that it's like you do certain things to get to the next point. It's just one step at a time.
Holly?
I absolutely do think everything happens for a reason. I understand the people that don't like that. And it usually comes from people who have, like, God forbid, lost a child. And they're like, what possible reason could there be for that? So I don't want to hear everything happens for a reason. The reason I believe it is because we are put here. I think the reason that we're here as humans is to discover, uncover, get to the root of who we really are as individuals and become our highest, best selves.
Yes. Mm.
So we can't do that unless we have a range of human experiences.
Right.
There's no way you can become your highest self if you've never experienced pain, because how would you know how yourself responds to pain? So no matter what experience you go through, I think it's providing you, your unique individual, with whatever it is you need to learn most. And sometimes that shit sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you don't ask for these things.
Mm-mm.
You're not like, hey, I'd like to experience this trauma, this tragedy, so that I can become my highest self. And that's why it's not fair. It's like, life's not fair. It's not.
No.
It's not pretty. It's not fair. It's not, it's not easy, but it's for a purpose so that you can live your life for whatever highest reason you're here for. And that's why I think things happen for a reason.
Totally agree. I think because I had one of my best friends from a few years ago, he used to get so mad when anyone would ever say things happened for a reason. And that's because he went through about a 5-year bout of just crappy things happening to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, that's bullshit. And now he's in a great spot in his life. He finally took that leap of faith. The world sort of opened itself up. And now he's like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. There was a reason why people say everything happens for a reason. He had to learn all these lessons about himself and what his passions are. That then, and then at his job that he took no time off, he worked there for maybe 15 years or so. And he didn't know that that whole time that he was working, they pay your sick time. And so when he found something that really fed his soul and he was able to move away, they were like, oh, we're going to give you a check for $25,000 because that's how much sick time you've accrued.
Whoa.
And that was like, well, fuck, I get it. Everything does happen for a reason. I was not ready to make that leap.
Right.
Not only was I not mentally, spiritually, physically ready, I didn't have the things ready, the money to make it happen. And he was like, I've saved up some money and I'm ready to just sort of take a leap and see what happens. And then his job was like, thanks so much. Here's a check.
Right.
Everything happens for a reason.
Let me add real quick to that. One quick thing is that you have to actively participate.
Right.
So if you are just going to be thrown about in the ocean of your life and not learn and blame others and be a victim to whatever, you know, tragedy befalls you, if you are going to not use those lessons and just stubbornly do what you're going to do and, you know, whatever, that's why those cycles keep happening.
That's true.
Because you need to learn. And if you don't learn, you get the lesson again.
And I feel like if you just, and this might hit you the wrong way if you are this person, and I sometimes can feel myself falling into this way of thinking, if you play the victim all the time, if it's always someone else's fault,
mm-hmm.
well, it's always their fault that I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, it very much is.
Yeah, sometimes it might be.
What are you doing to try to navigate those waters to get out of that situation as well?
No one is here to benefit you.
No.
Like, no one's looking out for you. That's why you have to look out for yourself. And
right.
So I know a lot of these people, a lot of the, you know, well, if you ask them, for example, well, why don't you just do this? Well, because they don't do this, or because my boss does this, or because, well, stop.
Right.
What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is a tiny step today, what can you do to make it better for yourself? That's what I was going to add.
What's another question, Holly?
Pick a number.
I will go with my lucky number, 22.
Okay. Let's see.
My birthday.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
Oh.
If you could give advice to your younger self, what would it be?
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Let's see here. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
If I could give advice to my younger self, this is interesting, especially considering the question we just answered. If everything happens for a reason, like, the advice I would give to my younger self might not be applicable.
Right.
Because my younger self would have had to go through it.
And you learn lessons from it that made you who you are today.
Feeling really meta right now.
I know, right?
Anyway, so
what
advice would I give to my younger self? You have the power. That would be my new advice. Because, I mean, it's always changing. Six months ago, I would have given myself, my younger self, different advice.
Right.
But Holly, in this moment, at age 38, would give advice to younger Holly and say, you have the power. Because I think I spent a lot of my life feeling powerless.
Mm.
Not like we talked about victim.
Right.
But not necessarily able to make my own decisions. And I was okay with it. Like, I was okay with being powerless. I just figured, this is just how it works. I did a lot of things blindly and not with intention. And I think that I would give myself the advice to build up my own power.
Is there a specific example of where you can look back and say, you had the power, but you let someone else have it?
I think a lot. Let me try and focus on a couple. So When I was in high school, I had a really, I did not like my stepdad. And we don't really talk about this that much because I've sort of, I may not have made peace with it, but I have addressed it a few times in therapy. I probably should do some more. I did not like my stepdad at all. And I was made to feel very powerless as a child. And that may not have been on purpose. That's just how my mom raised me. And it's, of course, under the guise of being respectful to elders.
Right.
And being, you know, mindful and when you're obedient. Okay. So I was raised to be very respectful, obedient, mindful. And I think a lot of kids are. And I think that that's in America, that's what parenting seems like it should be. Mm-hmm. You want to have obedient kids. But the thing is, you don't, because then you end up like me, where you feel just powerless and you're waiting for someone else to tell you what to do. So when my stepdad would say like inflammatory things, I would want to say something back, but I knew that it's not my place. So I'll just let that sit for today. Well, what happened was then I just buried all that anger and resentment, and it just got worse and worse. And it also caused me to, I think, be codependent, like we've talked about on podcast previously, because then I was always looking to my mom for the right thing to do.
Mm.
Whereas I could have been learning and growing in those years to trust my instincts, even if I got it wrong sometimes.
Right.
But that's also why I strive so hard now to be right, so that nobody can fault me. Like, I get all my facts and I double check my research and I want to present like a good thing and whatnot. But one of the therapists told me, you know, you can't live life perfect.
Right.
No one is. And what about all the people that, like, think about the Wright brothers putting them together the first plane? They didn't get it right the first time, but they still kept trying. So you can't be afraid to make mistakes. And I think that's one of my, I'm a recovering perfectionist, a recovering codependent, a recovering feeling powerless about my own life. And there have been a couple of things that have happened just within the last couple of weeks, I would say within the last 2 to 3 weeks in my personal life, especially when it comes to COVID-19, my daughter, my ex-husband, and the relationship that he and I have, that have been eye-opening to me in that I was still giving away a lot of my power to him because I still carry a lot of guilt around based on our divorce.
Right.
And so that's another example that you asked for where it's like, wait a minute. I mean, I have to take, it's like a completely new look at my life with new eyes where I'm letting other people call the shots. And I'm such an easygoing, like, don't want there to be a fight. I'm a peacemaker. Mm. So I'll usually go with the flow. Mm-hmm. I need to, in order to not be walked on and in order to make my own, make my own wishes, wants, thoughts, needs known, stand up for myself. So I would say you have power. Don't push it aside.
I love that. Scott?
I have written here, if I was to talk to my younger self, I'd probably tell him, you are enough.
Mm.
In a way that if I jump back, because, you know, right now I'm 23, I think my younger self that I really want to focus on is either like late middle school, early high school, even a little bit of high school. It's just knowing that I'm enough with me, we talked about on the podcast before, struggling with the way I looked at myself in the mirror and knowing that it's like I had a lot of acne and facial problems, and that drove me to like find other things within myself that I could really highlight, either working out or being a class clown in the classroom. And knowing that it's like, just because you have this feature about yourself doesn't take away from who you are, and it doesn't make you any less beautiful than everyone else around you if they don't have that same exact thing. Then I also associate it with, you are enough, when I struggled in my relationship in high school with finding that, you know, I felt like I had to be in this relationship with this person because I wasn't enough to get myself out of it, or I wasn't good enough to be with anybody else, or I needed to be in that one situation. And it allowed me for a couple of years to just be not, and both people are at fault here, but not treated properly, not talked to properly, and not loved properly. And that had an effect in the long run. And so telling myself that it's like, hey, like, you are enough to be on your own. You are enough to create your own life for yourself. And you are enough to be strong enough to get out of these situations if they're not good for you in the long run.
Mm. What made you finally realize that you were enough?
I think when I finally saw myself outside of the situation, there's a couple different ones. For my relationship, when I was in high school, like, I went off to college before anybody else did. I went into the summer semester over at USF. So, like, we all graduated. I was still with my girlfriend then. I went off to college, and it's like, we were so toxic that it's like, literally before I left, like, I remember just sitting at an empty parking lot mall and, like, going back and forth, and I was like, I just need to break this off. Like, we went back and forth so many times. I'm like, hey, yeah, I'm going to college. Like, it's not going to work anyway. And I, like, literally pretty much the next day, like, I went off to school, right. And that was it. And I got to see a little bit of life back to just being me. I was making friends on my own. I was living my own life. I wasn't having to be held down from somebody else. And that fueled my fire for that short amount of time because that summer was amazing. However, as soon as I got back from summer break and I went back to Vero Beach and all my friends were still there from high school, and I'm still friends with a lot of my buddies, but my ex-girlfriend was still part of the equation. You think people change. I got wrapped up in it again. And when I went off to school, she actually went to a school that was kind of close by. So it brought me back to my old ways where I was still living my life. Luckily, there was a little bit of distance, but there was still always that constant pull of like, why are you doing that? Getting in trouble for this and getting in trouble for that. And that's when I finally knew that I was like, wait, I've seen what freedom feels like. Like, I know I deserve better. I am enough to be on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Got out of it a lot quicker. As soon as I realized that it's like, look, we're not working. Like, this is not it. Got out, and then that allowed me to kind of just fully be able to focus on me and live how I want to live and actually develop into who I am today and discovering that true personality trait, those true, you know, dreams and goals and ambitions are what I am today.
It's a beautiful thing when you can finally break away from those sort of thoughts from when you were younger and those people from, you know, that, you know, because you're around the people from high school by choice. I mean, by location.
You have to.
Right. And then when you get to college, you actually get to choose who you want to hang out with. And that's what makes it so great.
Mm-hmm. Miguel, what about you?
I would tell myself that you are beautiful. No one ever told me that. And I never thought that.
Mm.
And that affected all parts of my body, not just my psyche, not just physically, but emotionally. I thought that I was too pudgy or I was too black. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't talented enough. And I feel like if I could go back and just say, hey, you know, you're pretty smart. You're pretty talented. It's a little different than what they know how to handle. Because when you, hopefully it's changed now, but back when I was in high school, like, either you were, like, really book smart or you were good at sports. But if you like drama or, you know, yearbook, stuff like that, okay, you know, you're great. But and then people would be like, oh, Miguel, you're charismatic or you are smart. But I never felt it. And if I would have truly realized that, I feel like I would have done so much more. Now, this is all under the guise of, you know, I don't regret anything because of what I went through. It made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to go back and if life, because life would have taken me on a different path.
Yes.
If I would have thought that I was smart enough, I would have actually done an AP class in political science. I would have not wanted to run away from Atlanta because I always felt like I'm gay and I'm not that attractive. So I need to like get away from Atlanta. I need to go down south. I need to find out who I am. And if I would have had the confidence to stay in Atlanta and go to a school there, I don't know where my life would have taken me. And I feel like it took me a long time to sort of understand the way I think and how I am beautiful in my own way. And it's not based on what they tell us in the quote unquote media, like what you see, who we hold up as, you know, super, like when I was coming up, Brad Pitt, James Van Der Beek, you know, these white men, they were the hot guys, you know, not someone that looks like me. And so I would tell myself that you are okay and you are beautiful in all aspects of the word.
Okay, because my follow-up to you was going to be, should the word be beautiful or should it be, I don't know, worthy? Or is it just beauty in all aspects of who you are as a human?
Yeah, because I feel like I
felt like I was worthy enough.
Mm. But you felt like maybe you felt unseen because you weren't what
I felt like
the status quo.
Yeah, like I felt like I didn't have a leg up because of how I grew up, where you know, I did grow up without a lot, and I went to a middle school and high school where material possessions they did not long for, and I did, and so I always felt like I was trying to play catch up. Where, you know, my friends were like, oh, I'm taking AP political science. And like, and this is why I look back at myself and it just, I hate that I thought I was so stupid. I was in middle school and high school and I would like read the newspaper every day. I would sit in the bathtub and like read Time magazine and like stay up on political science and politics. And yet, if you would have asked me back then, because I couldn't do multiplication tables, I was like, well, clearly I'm dumb. Mm. Clearly I'm stupid and I'll just, you know, not be successful in life.
That's such a shame that it was that way. I think having a kid myself now, I think it is different. Maybe not everywhere.
Right.
But I think there has been a bit of a collective shift on praising and recognizing an individual's talents.
Mm. Right.
And back in the day, it was very much plug and play.
Right. Like, if you couldn't memorize, then you were not smart.
Right. Or if you didn't do well on tests,
right.
then yeah. you didn't deserve to go to college.
And that's when I realized when I got to college and, you know, it wasn't just a here's multiple choice. And I especially remember this in one of my history classes with he was like the toughest professor. And his tests were he had like 30, like let's say you were studying the Civil War. And he'd have 30 terms, and it'd be like, you know, Abraham Lincoln or whatever. And you could circle three of them, and then you would just have to, like, define it and, like, tell a story about it.
Oh, that's good.
He would never just say, Abraham Lincoln, what year was he born? He was like, I don't care about that. Tell me, what was his impact?
Oh, that's so much better.
So you would pick three of those terms. And I still remember this test because I remember that's when I realized that I wasn't stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big part of it was he would give you three different essays. And it'd usually be like, it was like a paragraph of like, you know, explain the decisions that Abraham Lincoln or what events led to him making this decision for this, and then what happened after that. And you basically just told a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I studied, I wasn't just like, all right, the Civil War happened in 1775. It was like, girl, let me tell you about what Abraham Lincoln had to go through. And so then he would have those three essays. And then when you got there in the morning, he would pull out one, two, or three out of a hat. And then whatever one he picked, that would be the essay you would write. And so for me, I was like, I loved his test because I was like, girl, I'm just telling a story.
Yeah.
And I would sit there and I would tell my story. And I got an A on every test. I took two history classes from him. And he was like, and we would have conversations afterward. And I remember crying in his office and being like, I never thought that I would be able to pass your class because I thought that I was too stupid to do it. And I was afraid. And he was like, if you don't get up out of my fucking class right now, talking about stupid, you're one of the smartest people I've ever met. You just learn differently. And if somebody would have taken a hold of that, who knows where or how much confidence you would have had.
Exactly.
But everything happens for a reason. And there was a reason for that.
Yeah.
Because probably I would have been like way too conceited if I would have grown up.
You might have been like one of those like super smart douchebags that just
look what I know. Look at me. I'm an AP political scion.
Just think about all the times you get frustrated in your life and you know you're right or whatever, and then combine it with like super smartness and you'd be like, don't talk to me.
Like, fuck off.
So you never know.
Yeah. That was a good question.
That was. There's 28 more.
Girl, save it. Maybe we'll do that. Like every podcast. I don't want to say every, but you know.
Maybe not every, but maybe like three times a week or something.
I'm about to say because we'll probably forget. So
I'm going to add it to my favorites right now.
Perfect.
Here we go.
Awesome. And then is that posted anywhere, those questions? I don't think we posted
this morning.
No,
I don't think we did.
No, Scott, can you put it on the blog tomorrow for the hot site?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that. And we'll post it on our social media, so you'll be able to see it there.
Yeah.
And if not, just hit up one of us because we'll probably forget.
Probably. Forget. We have a lot going on.
I know. I have so many things on my to-do list. All right. Don't forget to email us if you've been displaced from work and you want us to throw out your Venmo, your Cash App, and tell us what sort of qualifications you have for when things do open back up and we can help you out.
By the way, the original article is from Elite Daily.
Oh, I love Elite Daily. Me I haven't too. Been on there in a while.
Me neither.
Oh,
yeah. All right, so anyway, just FYI.
Perfect. Holly, yes. What's all your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Mine is Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller, on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, and on Facebook, Facebook.com/Radio Miguel. Make sure to listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored, a.k.a. our Corncast, on the Hot 101.5 app, Hot 101.5TampaBay.com, or on iTunes. Just make sure to type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored, rate and subscribe. And thank you to Corona Beer for making this possible. Yes. If it were not for our advertisers, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
We'd be sitting at Chateau Oprah doing a podcast with some USB mics.
Can you just go get some honey baked ham and tell them Holly sent you? Okay.
I'll get one. That sounds delicious.
I mean, they have sides too, girl.
Tell them Holly sent you. And by the way, go get your security system with Safe Touch.
Okay.
Celebrate our endorsers. Thank you. All right. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.